morning. We're glad to be able to be in God's Word today. And if you don't yet have your Bible, I hope you'll go get a Bible and go to Psalm 121. That's where we'll be studying in just a moment. We have some songs selected to set our attention in God's Word. And we have just a couple things we want to say in way of announcements. One, if you haven't yet checked your email, please make sure you do that, because you received an email from the church this week about the annual meeting and some information regarding that. Also, the church had purchased a resource for the Prayer Secret Church simulcast. Well, that aired live this Friday, but if you'd like to contact the church office, we can give you login information, and you can watch that simulcast anytime from now until June. And so I hope that you'd consider that. We have some workbooks here at the church office that you can pick up. I hope that you would participate in that Prayer Secret Church event, which we plan to participate in annually. We had hoped to do it together here at church, but weren't allowed to do that this year. So you can watch that with your family at home. That's a pretty intense Bible study, but we would commend that to you and hope that you'd consider it as a resource. I want to mention, if you're watching right now, that my understanding is that the quality of the live stream through the website is a little more fluid. And so if you've been watching on Facebook, you're welcome to go to the church website and you'll find there a link to watch this live. You'd also find the sermon notes. So there's a handout made for today, and you can find that right underneath the video link. There's a link that says sermon handout. You can find that either on the church website, or you can also find it at the church Facebook group page, the IBC Wausau group page. Let's prepare ourselves for worship. Let me read for you a call to worship. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let us bless the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to its setting. Let the name of the Lord be praised. Let's worship the Lord in some song together.
Splendor outshines the sun. Whoa. soul, be still and do not fear. The winds of change may rage tomorrow. God is at your side, no longer dread the fires of unexpected sorrow. God, you are my God, and I will trust in you and not be shaken. Lord of peace, renew a steadfast spirit within me to rest in you. Soul, be still, do not be moved by lesser lights and fleeting shadows. Hold onto his ways with shield of faith against temptation's flaming arrows. God, you are my God. Trust in you and not be shaken. Lord of peace, renew a steadfast spirit within me to rest in you alone. Forsake the truth you learned in the beginning. Wait upon the Lord, and hope will rise as stars appear when day is dimming. God, you are my God, and I will trust in you and not be shaken.
temptation crouching at the door to turn us from the narrow way. We look to you, we look to you, Christ, the conquering Son of God. We look to you, we look to you, Lord, complete what you've begun. Lord, complete what you've begun. Deliver us from evil, Lord, the devil seeking to devour. With trembling hearts we hear his roar, but your strong arm will crush his power. We look to
Please pray with me. Father, we come to you again, missing our faith family, longing to be together again, but we trust you. We know that you have a plan, and that's our only hope, that you are truly sovereign over all things, and you're working out the counsel of your will in every detail. Even those who would oppose you are hopelessly trapped in your will. They are used for your glory, for your purposes. And so we praise you, Father, for your control over all things. We praise you for your power and your ability. You are unlike anyone else. You are truly holy, truly distinct and unique from everything else that exists. And we're grateful for that, Father. We're grateful for your kindness that has reached down, your grace and mercy that has brought us into relationship with you through Christ, so that we can know you in an intimate personal relationship, this holy God who is so far above us and beyond us. We're grateful. We're grateful that you will complete the work that you've begun, that you have not left us to our own devices, to our own strength, but you give strength as it's needed. You give grace for every moment, for every struggle, for every trial, for every need. You're so kind to us, Father, and so we thank you. We're thankful for another day, another gift of grace, another day to enjoy relationship with you, another day to celebrate your revelation of yourself in your word, and how we can enjoy that together this morning and study and learn more about who you are. Thank you for revealing yourself to us in grace and in power and in majesty. You are truly glorious and the only thing worthy of our praise. And so, Father, I pray that you would draw our attention to you, free us from distraction, whatever distraction all of us are struggling with, whether it be boredom or fear or anxiety or even things that promise to be satisfying and fulfilling in life that can truly never accomplish that purpose. Lord, help us to look to you and you alone. And if we have you, Father, because of Christ, we need nothing else. Lord, I pray that you teach us what it means to live in Christ, to live as Christ, because in Christ, it's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. And so, Lord, I pray that we would know that power of Christ in us, your Spirit applying the work of Christ to us, completing that work of sanctification, salvation, and finally, one day, we will be freed from sinning, from any desire to sin, and we look forward to that, Lord. Thank you for your word. Please use it now to teach us, to shape us, to heal us, to sanctify us. May your Spirit be at work in us, in all our various locations, as we participate in worship through the word, through preaching. Be with Rob, speak through him, and tell us what we need to hear. Show us who you are. Show us Christ even more today through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would take your Bible to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. We'll get right into this study today. I will tell you that I cannot remember the last time that I did not read this psalm at a graveside service. It is a promise in the face of great uncertainty or challenge. James Montgomery Boyce, who is a famous evangelical pastor and author, Bible student, he said that his mother would read this psalm every time someone in their family was heading off on vacation or heading off to college. This was a psalm that would be read in their home. David Livingston was a famous missionary to the continent of Africa, and the night before his departure to Africa, he used this psalm as a worship opportunity while saying farewell to his father and sister. So while we journey through days of uncertainty, days of maybe anxiety and frustration, we benefit from the worship of this chapter from the Songbook of the Holy Spirit. The title for my sermon to you is Our Help, or The Lord is Our Help, from Psalm 121. And if you have a question about something today, you can text it to this phone number, and we'll have an opportunity at the conclusion to maybe address those questions. You can also comment on social media. While Dave and Lee were preaching, I felt a little bit hesitant to comment things on social media because it felt a little bit like talking during church. But if you would like to comment things on the Facebook page, feel free to do that. I'm sure that you could have something that is edifying to say to the rest of our faith family. Also, if you want to ask a question through that, we have people in the room who are trying to keep an eye on the comments in social media. So if you have a question that you would like to submit right through social media, you're welcome to do it there. The Lord is our help. I want us to understand that definitively, and that's the point that I intend to drive home today. Let's talk a little bit about this text, Psalm 121. Psalm 121 is one of 15 psalms that are referred to as Psalms of Ascent. What that means is that these were songs that pilgrims would sing while ascending to the mountain of the Lord, to Zion or Jerusalem. And so they would make this trek to an annual worship festival, and they would ascend to the mountain of the Lord. And this is one of 15 psalms that they would sing on the road. Now, we have to do a little bit of work mentally to picture that traveling from wherever they were located up some unpaved dirt paths up to Jerusalem, up to Zion. It is easy for us to imagine that the psalmist was describing a scenario where people were tired, they were maybe suffering from some injury or some fatigue, and they were concerned about peril along the way. They were concerned about bandits and robbers on the way. I'll say more about that in a little bit. So they've been traveling for days, their feet are sore, their muscles ache. Jerusalem must have seemed like an unattainable destination. and there must have been a lot of fear and anxiety in their travel. This song is one of the songs of ascent that the pilgrims would sing to comfort themselves with the promises of God. Now, there's a word I want you to keep in mind as we go through these eight verses, and it is the word keep. It's used six times in these eight verses. Notice in verse number 3, the Lord who keeps you does not slumber. In verse 4, the Lord keeps Israel. In verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. In verse 7, the Lord will keep you from evil. The Lord will keep your life. Verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. Protection is a burning issue for these pilgrims who are traveling through some very lonely and even dangerous country. The psalmist is explaining again, like last week, the normal Christian experience. This is what God's people should expect to experience for all sorts of issues in life. And today, God's people have to know that we should expect the Lord to be our help. So the psalmist does this. If you look at the first verse, you find the psalmist asks an imperative question. By the way, the psalmist is probably David, and he asks this question, where will my help come from? And then he gives the answer to that question. My help comes from the Lord. Then what I want us to take away from this study of Psalm 121 is that there are eight choruses that we should learn to sing. Okay? We should preach to our own soul these eight choruses. So I only have 2 points for the sermon for us today. The first point is that we are all standing in need of help. The second point is it is only God who can be our help, and we should remind ourselves of that help through preaching to our own soul. So the first one, we are all standing in need of help. These songs of ascent are sung by pilgrims making their way up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is located in a mountain area. In fact, if you would note Psalm 125, verse 1, the psalmist there says, like the mountains of Jerusalem, the Lord surrounds his people. Mount Moriah is the highest elevation, and it's located about 2,500 feet above sea level, which means if you're heading into Jerusalem from the west, you're coming from the Mediterranean Sea at sea level. You would have to ascend 2,500 feet over the course of 37 miles if you were coming from the shore of the Mediterranean. However, if you're coming from the east side, you would have to ascend nearly 4,000 feet in elevation because the Dead Sea Valley is the lowest point on earth at approximately 1,400 feet below sea level. This ascent, 4,000 feet in elevation, over the course of 22 miles. So coming from the Dead Sea to Jerusalem, making that ascent was not for the faint of heart. Now, if you're wondering what would 4,000 feet in elevation over the course of 22 miles look like, let me give you an example. Rib Mountain, located just to the west of Church. Rib Mountain has a total elevation of less than 2,000 feet. Now, the issue with that is that the church is located at just over 1,000 feet. So if you've ever walked from the base here at the church to the top of Rib Mountain, you did not even ascend 1,000 feet. These pilgrims coming from the Dead Sea side, coming from the eastern side of Jerusalem, were ascending 4,000 feet over the course of foot travel, 22 miles. So these pilgrims would have a question, and not just because of the physical task of the trip, but they would have a question for other reasons. And the question is this, where does my help come from? Now, notice in verse 1, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? The psalmist is not saying he's looking to the hills to be help. The psalmist is actually saying that those hills are the menace that he is needing help from. The hills are the problem. The hills represent the very real threat of injury, the very real threat of assault from bandits and robbers that were waiting for pilgrims who were passing along these trails. And they would often assault and leave for dead these pilgrims. So I'm looking around me at this terrain, and I have a question. As I'm going to worship in Jerusalem, where does my help come from? These mountains were a source of great anxiety and fear. You can imagine a pilgrim getting ready to travel into Jerusalem for one of the three pilgrimage festivals, and that pilgrim being excited to go and participate in the corporate worship of God. But you can imagine that they all knew in the back of their mind that there was a great risk between them leaving home and getting to Jerusalem. For example, you know the parable of the Good Samaritan from Luke 10:30. That parable is Jesus teaching a heavenly lesson through something that was common knowledge earthly. And so the story Jesus tells is about a pilgrim, a traveler, who was leaving a festival. He was traveling back down these roads, and there he was assaulted, he was robbed, and he was beaten and left for dead. Luke 10:30, Jesus says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. By the time of Jesus' ministry, the road that led from Jerusalem back down into Jericho had received a name. The road was known as Adjumim, which means the Pass of Blood. This name was the infamous expression for this road being a road of violence. You might ask yourself, why would people take that trek then? If it's dangerous, why not go another way, a way that, where there's no risk? Or why not just stay home? The answer to that question, why would people take this trek when they needed the help of the Lord? The answer is because they were jealous for worship of God. Listen to what the same psalmist, David, says in Psalm 69. Zeal for your house has consumed me. David expresses that he had a deep burden to be in the worship of the Lord at the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. As they ascended to Jerusalem to attend the annual festivals, their hearts ascended with them. These hymns speak to us regarding the regular public worship of God's people together. I don't know that I can say that my heart ascends even through great peril as I anticipate the worship of God together with God's people. However, I can say that I think all of us are together in learning a lesson in prioritizing and increasing our value and appreciation for the corporate worship of God together. You might also ask the question, if this trek was so important for them and they needed to make it, even though they could only trust the Lord for their safety, then why did they do it at all? Why not just stay home? Or, this question, should we be making that same trek? Are we somehow supposed to get to Jerusalem in order to worship the Lord? Well, Jesus answered that question during his ministry. In John chapter 4, he's speaking with the woman at the well, and he says this, or she says this, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship." So there's this big conflict about where worship has to be to gather. And Jesus says to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when..."
Sorry, we lost connection.
Oh, yeah, we can stop there. The Mevo?
Restart, yeah.
Okay. How long ago did we lose it?
Just
10 seconds ago.
Okay.
Yeah, just the last 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Start with John 4.
Okay.
Do I need to hit some money?
No.
Again to reconnect?
It does take a little while.
It's probably an attack from outside.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if we're that big a deal. Are we on?
No.
Is anybody on social media going to comment and say if this is...
It's broadcasting. I'm saying we're having an issue with the broadcast. Yes, one minute.
Okay. Oh, we can try.
You're going to wind up with a... Is it going to then make it a new broadcast? Which internet are you on?
This one. Oh. See, I just...
just heard you say, are we on? And we can be on social media.
Is anyone commenting?
No.
What do you see?
They say on. Okay, so it must be
on. Still on.
Connect. Right. Facebook or website? Back? We were gone and now we're back.
All right, so you're on.
Held out in the middle of my sermon and made me stop. So sorry if we lost you there for a minute. I think that we're back on. You can keep commenting if it's lagging or if it's interrupted. But the place I was at was this question. Should we, God's people, still be traveling into Jerusalem to make these annual treks and even the degree of risk? Well, Jesus answered that question in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, he's talking with the woman at the well. And she says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that we should worship in Jerusalem. So there's a question about where worship should be happening. And Jesus clarifies when he says, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. But the hour is coming and now is where when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is seeking such to worship him. My help comes from the Lord. Jesus Christ became the means to our worship. When the pilgrimage and the trek became perilous and dangerous and honestly inadequate to really be in fellowship with the Father, Jesus Christ became for us our help. My help comes from the Lord. The hill might be a menace to the pilgrim, but the God who was keeping the pilgrim had made heaven and earth. I love Psalm 97, verse 5. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. So, church, let me ask you this question. Put yourself in the shoes of the pilgrim. Now, what was it they were facing? Was it the rigorous ascent up this potentially 4,000 feet elevation? Was it the risk of harm, the robbers that lay in wait, like Jesus referred to in the parable of the Good Samaritan? Or let me ask you this question. Was it the fact that there were true worshipers who were making that ascent and they knew what they were going to was the high calling of worship? So whatever it is that we need help with, maybe it's the path, maybe it's some risk, or maybe it's tuning our hearts to sing the praise of our great God. Whatever it is, we are in need of help, and our help comes from the Lord. We need, like the psalmist, to have similar help and confidence in difficulty, in risk, in the high calling of worship. Listen to what David said near the end of 2 Samuel. David says, I will not worship the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing. Easy or convenient worship should not be our goal. We should confess that only the Lord can help us. Change of circumstance or adjustment to make things easier is not our help. Our help only comes from the Lord. When you look for help, do you see in faith that your help is from the one and only God, the God who made heaven and earth? I want you to notice that when we talk about the Lord who helps us, the Lord who made heaven and earth helping us, I want you to understand that that is our Lord, Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:16 says that by him are all things made, and without him there is nothing that is made. Jesus Christ is the one who ultimately is the help that we need. So let me ask you two questions before I move away from this first point. First, to the unsaved person, the person who has not yet been redeemed from their sin's condemnation. To that person, I would say, do you rightly acknowledge your need for help? The Bible says that when we see our need for help to be saved from sin, and we call out on the Lord, we will be saved. But if you don't rightly see your need for help, it's unlikely you're ever going to call out to a helper. Let me try to use an analogy that is maybe a bit clumsy, but I hope helpful. And that is, again, let's talk about topographical geography. Let's talk about the elevation that we've already discussed. If you are dead in your trespasses and sin, you're in that Dead Sea Valley, and there's 4,000 feet of elevation. You need a helper who can raise your dead soul and